I think I mentioned to you, I'm not sure, the week before, of what I feel God is trying to communicate to me and then to the church, that we need a move of God. We need what? Revival. And I want to ask to go through something that you can then answer at the end of it, whether you think you and I need a move of God, a revival or not. Is that okay? So we'll do that exercise before I teach in the weeks coming the demands of revival. But we need to find out whether we truly need what? Revival or not. Is that not logical? The Bible says the hand of God is not shortened, that it cannot save. But we have reason to fear that our sins, our iniquities, our coldness, and the carnality of our spirit has brought a separation between us and God. Our complacency. God's hand is not short to save. God's power is always there. But where there's a lack of manifestations of those things, there's a reason why these things what? Exist. So, I want you to ask yourself 7 questions that will help you. There's a lot of points I'm going to give about why we need revival. You can answer for yourself whether you need revival, we need revival or not. So Tozer said there are 7 questions that we can ask ourselves. Number 1, what do you want most? Which when you go, I'm going to answer this question when you are in the presence of God praying. What do you want most? What do you really want most in life? Ask your neighbor, what do you want most? Ask them. Some of us even don't know what we want. Number 2, what do we think about most? What do you think about most of the time? Hello? Ask your neighbor again, what do you think about most? And if they are courageous, they will answer you. What do you think about most? These are things that at the end of the day will help you to know whether you need revival or not, if you are sincere and you answer it correct. Number 3, how do you use your money? Where does majority of your money go to? Number 4, how do you use your free time, your leisure time, when you have free time? Your work time is not yours, it's owned by somebody. But your free time, what do you do with it? Are the questions clear enough? These are questions for you to, when you are alone at home, answer them honestly. Next question, number 5. What company do you enjoy most? What are the kind of people you enjoy most? What company, what kind of associations, what kind of friendships do you enjoy most? It's a sign. Say it's a sign. It's an indicator. Somebody says, I don't have any friend. Facebook is my friend. It's a sign. It's an indicator. Number 6. Who and what do we admire? Who and what do we admire? Nowadays, Christians admire Oprah Winfrey more than Pastor John. That's a problem. Believers admire. What are some of the people? Beyonce? This is for the young ones. Where are they? They are more excited about. Catherine, who are the people you are excited about? Who do you admire? You check it. Your life. It's a sign. Say it's a sign of where you are. Number 7. What do you laugh at? What makes you laugh? What do you laugh at? All those things you receive by, what do you call it again? WhatsApp. Are we here? What do you laugh at? These are the questions that, this one is for take home. Say it's for take home. Yeah, this one is take home one. When you go home and you are alone with God, you answer these questions. And then you will notice where you are at, whether you need revival or not. So let us go straight away into some issues that will help us know. I think today I'll spend all the time talking about these things. Why we need, number one, when there is a want of brotherly love and Christian lack of Christian confidence in preaching the gospel, when there's a lack of brotherly love amongst us. Hello? Somebody said, but I love everybody. No. It is when we are doing everything by what? Ourselves. You don't care about your brother, your sister. It's a sign that something is wrong. So one, when there's a want of what? Brotherly or sisterly love, whatever way you want to put it, then there's a need for revival. Are you here? Number two, when there are dissensions, that is, divisions, jealousies, evil speaking amongst believers, then there's a need for a great revival. When there's what? Dissensions, partisan spirit, jealousies, evil speaking, slander, lying, backbiting, it's a sign that we need what? Revival. These things show that Christians are very far from God. Look, the sad thing is that we don't even realize that we are very far from God. When I finish this and I go, maybe you would discover that we are very far, me and you, very far. Because you see, we judge things in our own what? Mind. God judges things for far what? Deep. And please, don't use man's standard to measure how God thinks. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When you find it hard to love your sister next to you, your brother next to you, it's a sign that you are far from God. This thing, I don't want us to lie to ourselves at all. Because when we lie to ourselves, when the person is sick and they are lying to themselves, they are not sick. Dr. Gigi can tell, the person is sick, but they say they are not sick. They won't go for, by the time you realize, we are burying them. True or not true? It is time to seek God when there is no love, but there's dissensions and all kinds of evil speaking. Number three, when there's a worldly spirit in the church, if the thing affects you, say, ouch, have mercy, Lord. Today I'm going to hear a lot of have mercy, oh God. When there's a worldly spirit, a carnality in the church, don't say, what is carnality? When we exalt worldly things more than spiritual things, when you love the things of the world more than the things, when you speak against the church so easily and so freely, it's a sign you are a carnal creature. You are far from God. Carnality. You love things of the flesh more than things of the spirit. When a friend comes and says, Grace, I've discovered a new restaurant in Totten Heath. It's called Bangaraya. And the food is, you are happy. When I say, Chris, I have found a new place where we can go and pray. You see, it's a sign that you are very what? Carnal. It's a sign. I'm giving you signs as indicators. Look, the state we are in, you have no idea. You have no idea. We are in a very horrible state. Not just this church, by the body of Christ all over the place. When the church has sunk so low into what? A backsliding state. When Christians conform to the world more in everything we do, our parties, the worldly amusements, we like things more than prayer meetings. I'm not hearing them, man. We have every complaint to make when there's, but when other things are of the world, let's go to cinema. What's the latest thing? The ones we saw. I saw something that something has fallen. Angel. Yeah, we are going. I said, oh, but there's Wednesday prayer meeting. It means that we have become very what? Worldly. Look, we better accept that we are very sick. And the merciful God will hear our cry and heal us. Look at all the mess. Actually, I will go more into details. It's not because God's hand is short, but my people are full of sin. Therefore, my hand and my spirit has withdrawn from the people of God. Yes. When we like reading books, nowadays we don't read books. You forget everything about the books. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, foolishness, we enjoy more than godly things. It's a sign the church is very carnal. It's a sign you are very carnal. You enjoy more that you add conflicts and put it on Facebook and you are very happy. And then when we put spiritual things on the map platform, you don't comment, you make any statement. It's a sign you are backsliding. You better believe what I'm telling you. When you are more interested in how many followers you have, Twitter, Facebook, I don't even know. You get all kinds of invite from people you don't know. And Christians are caught up in this madness. You don't know that it's a backsliding state. We are lost. And as I preach, may God open your eyes. May the Holy Spirit himself, for I cannot do that. I'm just declaring the work. May the Holy Ghost do the work he alone can do that I cannot do. May he let you really know your state. Let me go ahead of myself. If we do not weep over sins, it's a sign we are far from God. When was the last time you and I wept over our sins? When was the last time we wept over the sins of the church? When was the last time? But we can find all the fault in the church. When was the last time you wept? It's a sign we need revival. We need heaven to visit us. When you find, number four, the church members falling into gross sin and scandalous sins. There's a lot of scandalous sin and gross sins. Maybe not so much in this church, unless it's hidden, I don't know. When you have pastors, after preaching, big pastors or big churches, go to Las Vegas to have all kinds of filthy fun, then it's a sign. We need revival. When people are sleeping around without any hint, believers, maybe you are here, you just keep quiet. Don't laugh to me because people will see. You sleep around. So, oh, me, I'm not sleeping. But in your mind, you are always sleeping with people. It's a sign. That gross sin has entered. One man said, the Canaanites have entered the church. The abominable things have entered the church. And we, the pastors, we are asleep. We don't know that it's full of filth. Gross sins. Filthy sins in the church. If you are to read the kind of sins people are doing, you find vitriolic hatred in believers. Go on the internet and find out. You will see. We are in a very deplorable state. Are you still here? When such things are taking place in the church, maybe I don't know about here, like gross sins, like somebody like saying that, well, Jesus has appeared in Kenya. Have you seen that clip? Have you seen the clips of pastors praying and telling women to come to church without the underwear? When you see gross sins like that in the church, I can tell you gross sins about pastors and prophets. That is a sign that we need God to visit us truly again. When the believers are so easily taken that somebody can go to Kenya, bring a white man, say he's Jesus, and people are happy and following that, it's a sign the church is very sick. When we preach holiness and the right things, you don't want it. All you want is motivational what? Messages. It's a sign. Pastors can preach about what? The holiness of God. That God hates sin. No, you don't hear that anymore. But I can tell you, the day is coming. We, including me, will be falling our faces crying to God for mercy. When sin goes on and it doesn't mean anything to us, it's a sign. Gross sins that people engage in, that unbelievers are making mockery of the church. Haven't you seen that? Even in this country, they cannot mock Muslims, but they can easily mock Christians. True or not true? All the comedies that they are full of Christian things, but have you seen them making mockery of Islam? And the church is happy. Fighting over homosexuality, whether it is right or not. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. The faith of our fathers has fallen to the ground. And it includes you and me. When we see evil and we can't speak against it, even us. If Chris is doing evil and I'm still encouraging him and I cannot tell him, Chris, no! What thou doest is evil. If I cannot tell him that, it's a sign that we are in a deplorable state. We need revival. When we see even in a country where there's a lot of controversy like Brexit, where the country is divided into two on these matters, it's a sign. We need what? Revival. When believers are divided along all kinds of funny lines, when believers don't talk about Jesus, but I'm for T.D. Jakes, I'm for Joyce Meyer, who else? Creflo Dollar, I'm for Joel Osteen, I like the smile, doesn't say anything bad, then you know. We are in need for it. It's a sign. See, it's a sign.
It's a sign.
Listen to this. Number six. When the wicked triumph over the church and they revile us, how many of you know that the wicked triumph over us? They do. The unbelievers, the wicked of this, they triumph over us. We are just in a little cocoon here. But we can they triumph over us? Or you don't realize it. When they are passing laws in parliament, that same-sex marriage is okay. Passing laws. People who say they are Christians, passing laws. Putting Christians down. You can't wear a cross. You can't do this. Mocking us. It's a sign. We need revival. When the unbelievers make mockery of you at work and you can't do squat, you feel powerless. It's a sign. That we need revival. Are you here? Number seven. When sinners, this is how the unbelievers, are careless and they are sinking into hell unconcerned. I don't know if you know that sinners don't care. They are just going into hell in their droves. And they are careless. They don't even feel anything. True or not true? It's a sign the church needs, because the church is the only answer to them out there. So if we, the church, we are comatose. It means we are dead sleeping. And those who are careless are going there. There's no hope. It's a sign that something is wrong with you and me and with the church. Are you hearing what I am saying? Is the Spirit of God witnessing to you or something else? When it is the church's duty to wake up, it's like a fireman when there's a fire, what? A house on fire. And the only person who can save that house is the fireman. But the fireman is what? Sleeping. That is how the world is. Unbelievers are very careless. Have you tried witnessing to unbelievers of late before? They will mock you. You are very weak. That's why you believe in a God. They will tell you are mentally what? Weak. They insult you. True or not true? That today in this morning, well, this morning you believe in a God. Are you normal? And then you sheepishly go, go and find some small something to. True or not true? When you preach, when I preach, and people start to not move, it's a sign God's spirit is not there. Don't you witness to people, you proclaim the gospel, and they don't listen. It's a sign. Because, by the way, let me tell you about when we say we have the Holy Ghost baptism. Do you know the clear sign of the Holy Ghost baptism? The major sign of the Holy Ghost baptism is that you become a witness of Jesus Christ. It's not just speaking in tongues, but you have received power to go and preach. If you don't do that, look, my friend, it wasn't given to us to speak in tongues. Say, you shall be endued with power, and you shall become my witnesses. You will stand in the dock of the court and witness to the living Jesus with power, not with mere words. So we speak in tongues and we are happy. It's not enough. We need power. Say power. How many of you know you need power? I need power. When you talk to people, they must weep. When I talk to people in the gym, they must weep and say, brother, what must I do to be saved? Then you know power is flowing. When you talk to people at your workplace and they weep over their sin, it means you are carrying power. That's how the early church was. Every revival that we have seen in history, when the Spirit of God is upon his people, just one, even at time without speaking, people fall and they are screaming for mercy. That is what we need to experience. But before that, we need to acknowledge where we are at. Because if you don't realize that you are very sick, then you will not go to the doctor for what? Medication. And unbelievers are mocking us. And then, listen to this, even believers are ashamed of the gospel. Now, they thank God. No, I would say thank God. Modern technology has made it in such a way that you can hide your Bible. Before the Bible started coming on phones, you're supposed to carry your Bible. When you get to the bus, you take a newspaper and cover the Bible. True or not true? We are ashamed of the gospel. We are ashamed to be Christian. Is that not so, please? Is that not so? We cannot stand out and say we are Christian. When we see other Christians preaching, we become what? In Brixton. True or not true? You don't go and say, brother, preach on! Do you do that? You don't want to be identified. Oh, true or not true? I see behaving so embarrassing us. True or not true? We've all been guilty of that. This is just embarrassing us. We cannot stand up for what we believe. But he is even doing. What have you done? What have you done? He has the courage to stand there, whatever is. But you, what have we done? I was telling us, since beginning of the year, January 2019 to August, we are in August now, ending. Have we saved one soul as a church? Has a single person been saved in this church? And you think it's not sickness? If you are married and you cannot give birth after 10 years, you want to give, you can. Is there not something wrong? Hello? I'm asking, is there not something wrong? Something is wrong. And you do all that you can in your power to what? Rectify it. People spend thousands of what? Pounds. Doing what do you call that thing again? IVF. Thousands of pounds. To rectify it. When have we spent energy, effort to reverse this trend of evil amongst us? We are, you see, when believers are careless and unconcerned, it's a sign. When I go out there and I see unbelievers, it doesn't move me. I tell God, my heart is very cold. I have to tell you, my heart is very, very cold. I am dead. When unbelievers, you see them plenty, it doesn't move me. How many of you does unbelievers move? It doesn't move you. You are thinking of your kele wele you have to eat. You, what's kele wele? Your rice and peas. when you are working, all that you are thinking of is a dinner waiting for you at home. And you see unbelievers, your workplace, plenty of them in your workplace. They are going to hell. And it doesn't concern you. You won't pray and fast for them. You are rather praying and fasting for what? Some personal what? Breakthrough. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, you don't even have to pray for them. We have reversed the whole order. Principles to breakthrough. There should be principles to win souls, to honor God, to fear God, and all the other things, they will be added to us. Unless God is lying. You see, we have created a religion in our own understanding, and we are violating God. No wonder there's no power. But all that I'm saying, we are all included, including the pastor. I'm the number one chief. It's very frightening, I'm telling you. To me, very frightening that God will say to you, you have presided over a people that are so kind that they don't love souls. You are the cause. I can't blame any of you. Me, I'm the one that I am blaming. Because there's something wrong in your house. It's the father's fault who has not addressed the issue and the matter. Then the mother. Then he goes, you can't blame the children. I'm not blaming. I'm just telling you that I am the number. You have to pray for me. Because I'm the one leading. And if I'm leading, I'm leading us all into a ditch. Making us complacent as if we're okay, but we are not okay. We are not okay at all. What God told, we are not okay at all. Forget about other churches. I don't have responsibility for them. I can tell you worse things, but I have to clean my own house before I can think of others. Are you here? Can I give you some more? When you entertain things that once grieved you, how many, when you got saved, certain things used to grieve you. Now it doesn't grieve you anymore. When you got saved, can you tell me, when you got saved, certain things grieved you. You cleared it out from your house. You got rid of all the porn materials. You got rid of all the music that make you shake carnality. Now you have got them more. The things you hated before, you are entertaining them now. It's a sign. The kind of things you will never do. When you got saved, you loved God, you will not. Today, it is normal in Christendom. And we are true. Is it true or not true? As I'm saying, you check yourself. The things that once you hated as a Christian, now you love it. It has become normal to us. When you got saved, nobody even told you. You were so holy. You needed to dress a way to be holy. Now, you don't care. Christians don't care. We dress to reveal everything. And we say we are in liberty. No. We are in carnality and in sin. Why is that when you got saved, without anybody even telling you, you felt you have to be a sinner. Now you have matured. Instead of going from glory to glory to glory, now you are falling into what? Carnality. What I'm saying, am I speaking Greek or Hebrew here? The things when you got saved, your passion for God. Prayer meetings, this nice. Oh, too many prayer meetings, too many church meetings. But when you got saved, every church meeting you were there. You were excited. Now you have developed and matured. You are condemning those things. And you think you've matured. And you think that thing that you're doing will save the world. Would take people from you. It's a joke. It won't happen. They would have saved the world what? Long ago. So check yourself. Things we didn't. Can you tell me some of them? I didn't have time to think it through. But the things we hated when we were believers. When I got saved. By the way, if your past is more glorious than your present, it's a sign of sickness. If you keep on saying, hey, when I got saved, how I witnessed, how I prayed, but now it's gone. It's a sign. Why should it be gone? You know, so if my glory is in my past 20 years ago, when I got saved, the way I used to dance and praise God and my conscience and mind was pure and clean. But today, when you look at yourself, you find out that something what? Those things doesn't bother you. It's a clear sign of a backsliding state. So God withdraws what? His hand. And the sad thing, we can keep on, you know, we can do church for 20 years without God in it. Phew. Oh yes, there are plenty of churches God has withdrawn. Even here, I'm not even sure. God is telling me, look, it's just like he told the churches in, where he says, repent or I'll come and take away my lamb. You are very close of me taking away my lamb from you. Some people think God has not withdrawn his son from believe. Oh, he does. Check through our church history. Sin is a reproach to a people, but righteousness exalts a nation and a people. Sin is a reproach. Check this land. Check the fathers of this land and see what is happening in this land. Then you know God has withdrew his hand. When you have met this church, yes, in America, passing laws, legislating in their ecclesiastical meetings that man can marry man, woman can marry woman. You think it's not sickness? Oh, are you here? So you believe it. That's why you are quiet. It's a sign. Do you go and get petrol from your car and you put the petrol nozzle in the exhaust pipe? And you say it's normal. Even nature teaches you, it is not normal. It's an abomination. Pastors can say it. Today, Christians are identified by what? The label of what? Homosexual Christian. Just think about it. That sin is what is used to label a Christian now. And we are enjoying little. We are in our own world. We need mercy. And I'm the number one person. I'm not mean it. I don't want to die in this state. I'm going to meet God. It's frightening. When you look at our forefathers, what they did, the sacrifices, now we are here today. And you and I, it's like a parent. Sister Jessie is not here. It's like maybe you. You got children, isn't it? And you suffered and suffered and suffered for your children when you came to this country. For them to be educated. And then you bought a big house. Then when you died, the day, 1 week after you died, they sell the house and go. Like I was telling you about, I'm not mentioning any name. One of my relatives, their mother died and the children were planning how they were going to sell. What did you do with them? I don't think. It means that all your toil is what? Nothing. It means that all the toil of the Wesleys, the toil of the Evans, the toil of all those people, the Jonathan Edwards, the Charles Finneys, has amounted because we, this generation, have abandoned their work. Can you imagine? You toil, save a lot of money. You are happy to leave it to your child. If that child is not right, and you'll be turning in your grave, you find out that all your efforts is what? Zero. They will just take the money, call their friends, we are going to Ibiza, and blow the money. That is why you should never labor for the things that perish, but labor for the things that does not perish. The best heritage you can give your children is the Holy Ghost, is Jesus. It's not money. You can leave the money, but that is not the main heritage. Big mistake. But we Christians, that is how we are pursuing life. Am I lying? When you talk to people, that's how you don't see the passionate to communicate to them Jesus, the foundation and the solidness of the church, the house of the living God. You don't see that. Even the way we behave in God's house to our children is an abomination. When the church is the only hope God has left for the world. There's no hope for the world apart from us. You know that? There's no other hope. And God is telling us all of, because I feel very strong, God wants to do a new thing amongst us. He wants to do a mighty thing that will surprise and shock all of us. But we have to acknowledge, if my people who are called by my name, my people, will humble themselves and say, God, yes, and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven. I will hear their cry and I will answer. I will pour my spirit upon them. It's conditional. When I start teaching on the conditions, you find out that there are conditions to any move of God. Let me give you. So far, what I have said, do we need revival or not? Please don't give me a politically correct answer. Because after I finish preaching, you know what some people will do? They'll press the delete button. You know, you read something you don't like, what do you do? Or I think they've got them in Facebook and the thumbs up. Or, you know, the YouTube or thumbs down. Some of you will be pressing thumbs down. And some will be pressing what? Thumbs up. I cannot deceive myself to think that everybody here. No, I can't. But you have to decide. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Or delete. If you read this something you don't like, what do you do? Delete. Most people, if as you are hearing the message, you can even be pressing delete. Thumbs down or thumbs up. It's up to you. If what I am saying, when we finish, is not true, you can come and talk to me. I will talk to you. I give you the opportunity. At times you preach and let people wrestle with the word. But this one, I will talk to you. Are we turning again to the things we want that turns out of? Even when we're watching movies, when you're a Christian, when you see certain things, you don't what? You turn your eyes. Today, our eyes rather gets open more. But when we got saved before, true or not true, you turn your eyes. That's why for me, at least I like watching things that I can fast forward without contaminating myself. Or when you go to the movies, you close your eyes. Someone says, why are you closing your eyes? You know, your Christian brother or sister, they say, oh, you are being too spiritual. You see, they'll tell you that to make you feel guilty. It's an evil spirit. They are bullying you. And then you say, oh, yeah. Then by the time you realize, you are canalized. After all, it's okay. Something is entering into you. Am I speaking the truth? You sit down and watch with your children, you see some of this, and you feel very comfortable. Before you watch with your children, true or not true, you and your children sitting down, watching, kissing, and then fun, and then you are very calm. They have to see this thing so that they will know how. Eh? Do you take a knife and cut yourself to see how a knife, when it cuts you, it is? Do you do that? You see, all of this nonsense that we give to ourselves. All of this religious mumbo jumbo that we have acclimatized to is killing us. But thanks be to God, I feel something that if we will pay the price, from this place will go mighty men and women, not just in this church, to the four corners of the earth. Mighty people will arise. The Spirit of God will come upon us, and we will do things that in our strength we can never do in a million years. It is going to happen in this church. May God give us the grace to do that. But first, we need to acknowledge where we are at. That's why you pray against demons. The demons say they won't go. How many of you are praying against demons? Familiars, they say we are still here. Because we are very disobedient to God. Why will God hear our prayers? Thank you, Chris. Are you silent where you once spoke? You know, before we got saved, things that were not silent, now we are silent about them. You find your brother or sister even doing something wrong. You know what you say? I don't want any trouble. It's this. Hello? Understand, even in this church, somebody will do something that is wrong. Instead of going to challenge the person, you know what you will do? I don't want any trouble. You are looking at me. I'm telling you the truth. Instead of telling the person you are out of order, or go and confront the person. In the teams, worship, sound, whatever. If somebody did something wrong, you say, no, this is not even the values we espouse as a church. Repent is a sin. You can't do it. Let me mind my own business. And it's killing us. No courage anymore. Am I speaking Hebrew? I said, am I speaking Yoruba here? What I'm saying, is it true or not? Somebody, Sister Janet, that person, you didn't do anything. Pastor, you didn't want any trouble. What? You didn't want any trouble. You should confront. It's like if you have children and the children are doing wrong things in the house. Keturah says something wrong to Katrina, and then I see it and they are fighting and I keep quiet. I should not call them. I say, come here. This is our home. You must walk in love. It is wrong. We don't do that. It's a sign that we need revival. We are sick. It's a sign you are sick. You've lost your confidence to do the right thing. Lack of courage. Are we still here? The prayer closet has gathered cobwebs and your Bible is very dusty. Even after all, can I borrow that? All the Bibles, you version, I've got over 33 versions of the Bible on here. And we don't read it. When was the last time you read the Bible? Just one chapter, one chapter. You just read one chapter. Meditated upon it and used it to pray. When was the last time? When was the last time you really prayed and cried out to God? When was it? Our prayer closet is gathering what? But before you used to pray. So what has happened? That is also a sign. If you are here, you don't read your Bible. The Bible is boring to you. Say, the Bible is very what? Boring. And you are very confident in saying that. You should say, I am very sick. Instead of blaming the Bible, blame you. We keep on always pointing somewhere. We don't even look at ourselves that I am the one who is sick. There's something wrong with me. I find the Bible boring. God help me. Because the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. Not proceed. Proceedeth means that every day God is speaking from his word. And we don't read it. By the way, when we don't pray and read the Bible, you know what we are saying? Who knows what we are saying? When you don't pray, you don't read the Bible. You are telling God, I don't need you. I can handle things myself. Look, it says, look, don't lie to you. If I'm going about, I'm not praying, communing with God, reading, I'm telling God, I don't need you. I can handle matters. True or not true? The way you are saying it, are you guilty or what? It's a sin. Not because I'm a pastor, that's why I read the Bible. It is my food that feeds what? The inner man. It is thing that renews what? My mind. So if I'm not praying, I'm telling God that, God, I can solve this problem in the church. If what I'm saying, I don't pray a lot. You know what I'm telling God? Oh, take it easy. God, I have my own strategies and what? Plans. Are we here? Have you noticed that a lot of pastors have got strategies going from one conference to another conference? Look, the amount of conference we've been to, and the books that we've read, without the Holy Spirit, it's all what? A joke. You'll be doing things in your own strength. You get stressed. Pastors are drinking after preaching. Stress. Because they are trying to plan their marketing, their strategies and all kinds. But what I read in the book is that the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you. Like something, you take a jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 people. You will take a bear and a lion and wipe them out by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We don't want the Holy Ghost, so we got all our strategies. Look, I'm a pastor. If I'm to tell you things that strategies pastors do to shock you, so I won't bother you about it. I don't want to pollute your mind. But you, as a Christian, you are also using strategies. True or not true? Strategies to make things work for you. I was going to say something, but let's move on. If you want to know, come and see me privately. I'm almost there. Say he's almost there. Talking about prayer, when life throws a problem your way, is prayer the first place you turn to or the last thing? What did God show you in his word today? These are things you have to answer. If you have issues, the last thing you do is prayer. Or ask the word, this is a sign that you need revival. Now listen to this. When you are more likely to criticize your pastor than to contemplate the message you are hearing, it's a sign. I didn't get amen. You know, when we finish, you know what some people do? We are going to find out what is right, what is wrong. Instead of letting the message set them and them changing, they are finding the faults in the message and how you should have said this, how you shouldn't have done this. You must come to me and say, Pastor, I am repenting. You never hear that. Pastor, you shouldn't have said, you know, this, that, the people. So what did you hear? What I want to, what are you going to do? By what? You see, people will not come and tell by the fault finding. So when you find out, and I tell you, you find a lot of believers criticizing messages. When Kwabena puts something on my flap, you know the first response of some people is bothering us. Why should he be bothering us putting this thing on? But when they put a laughing thing on your this, you are happy. Look, it's all these are signs that we are very what? Kana. Instead of saying thank you, somebody has bothered to find a message that will help you. Put it on there. You are complaining about it. But if they've sent you some funny joke, you'll be happy and calling people. Come, and you'll be what, forwarding it on, true or not true. That is carnality. What? Nowadays, I'm trying to delete a lot of them. When they are coming, I just delete them as much as I can. Very soon, I'll delete all of it. I'm not joking. I'm getting there because the Lord is dealing with my heart. There are more important things to spend my energy and my fingers on. I saw somebody doing something on the typing something, WhatsApp or message. I was shocked the way the fingers were moving very fast. I said, what? I was shocked, man. Which did you do that? The way the fingers was going. I couldn't believe that. Hey! I saw it. I was going to the gym. I saw the man. It's a man, not even a woman. Fast. I was shocked. We must be fast in sending messages to encourage people, to make people to seek God. And then let me sing the final one. Then we have to be closing. This one is a biggie. When you excuse sin, you know today believers excuse sin a lot. Am I lying? Your workplace. I'm not mentioning your name so they don't raise you. When people believers, you know believers excuse sin. Oh, this one is nothing. Oh, please. You're making me feel bad. I see if I'm not telling the truth. The way we excuse sin. It's a sign. Look, when God begins to move, you will see what sin is. Maybe you don't know what sin is. I have read of revivals, eh? People will fall and hit their hands on the floor, strong, crying God for mercy that they are going to hell about their sins. The little thing we call sin, simple things, you know, pride, arrogance, gossip, lying, filthy thought. It will shock you how people feel. You know, all of us maybe say that we have got secret sins that nobody knows. Oh, they are very holy people here. Thank God you are very holy. The secret sins, things that you do that nobody sees. Then when you come to church, before you come, oh yeah. But meanwhile, you're eating the cookie. But you are wiping the crumbs. So you come, hello. You've gone and taken your mother's cookie and eating the cookie. Nathaniel. You've eaten, opened them, eating the cookie. Your mother says, so when you finish, hello, mommy, how are you? You see, that's what we do. Don't excuse what? Sin. For anybody and for yourself more than anybody else. Now, this believers excuse sin, eh? True or not true? You go and find out how believers are excusing sin all over the place. That is one of the massive signs that God has withdrawn what? His hands. So we preach, people are not getting. You know why? Even when we go to Kojo, are selling Kojo, we go even and preach and people are not getting saved. Do you know why? Even if we start witness, you know people will not be saved. Even now. You know why? Because of sins in our lives. So there's no power when we speak. There's no force back in it. Do you excuse sin? So as for this one, it's small. It is the little foxes that spoil what? The vine that spoils. I've got an apple tree. The thing can bear fruit more than anything. But there's some little bugs that go into the apple and lay their eggs. They are disturbing me. I have to find some fumigation and finish them. next year. Or they will keep on what? The apple that me, I'm what? Trimming the thing to bear more fruit. They are spoiling it. Little sins. It's spoiling the whole apple. That I can juice and eat and be healthy, organic. I'm going to buy some inorganic from some other supermarket. Do you excuse sin? Ask your neighbor, do you excuse sin? Ask them, do you excuse sin? And then you use the word, God understands. And then you use the phrase, we are all sinning. Don't judge me. Hello? You are judging me. The Bible said, don't judge. Who told you that nonsense? Where in the Bible do you find that statement? You don't understand. True or not true? Thou shalt not judge, lest thou will be judged. Do you know the context of what he's saying? Bible says, judge yourself, lest you be judged. Bible says, judge all things, and hold fast to that which is good. So you don't judge, eh? Okay, very good. When you are going to do anything, business, or you are going to marry somebody, don't judge. Just go in and for it. Just go. Because you say, thou shalt not judge. You see the stupidity of the way at times we think. We don't even sit down and think that there's something wrong the way even we think and process in our thoughts. You know, the Bible at times has a nice way to tell you and I that we are being stupid and foolish. So, for instance, if one says, I'm for Paul, I'm for Chris, then one says, I'm for Kwabena, I'm for Pastor John, and I'm for Harold. But we say, when you do that, you are not wise. It's a nice way to say you are foolish. And do you know that we do that a lot? Let the Bible. So, at least I've given you, it's enough what I've said. So, if you think we don't need revival based upon all that I have said, then don't join us in praying and in seeking God. You're okay. And you who is very perfect, you are the one that we need to pray more. Do you know that the most, if you look throughout history, the people who pray most for revival were the people who were most what? Righteous. Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, John Wesley. Those people were the most what? Godly men and women. So those who think that all that Pastor John has said, delete or thumbs down. You are the best position to pray for all of us. We, the sinners, that feel guilty. Shall we stand? I think I've given enough. So next time when I come and teach on the demands of revival, you will understand. By the way, how many of you think we need revival? Okay, so we agree. But it's easy to say I agree. But when I come to the demands, even myself, I'm afraid. As I was mad, I say, God, I feel helpless. I'll just lie down to pray. I can't even open my mouth. But it is God who is at work in us, both to will, and the fact that we are feeling this, it's a sign God is showing mercy to us. That for God to leave us in our mess, it's a sign. Hallelujah. I don't know when God is going to move, but I cannot wait. Me too, I must experience what Wesley experienced. I must experience what went on in Wales. I must experience what went on in Scotland. You know, Scotland have experienced more moves of God than any of these in the United Kingdom. You should go and read about Scotland, the moves of God. Why should I die the way like this? I don't want to die like this. Do you want to die the way you are? No, me, I don't want to. And by the way, what I'm saying, God is signifying it all over the place. People that I'm talking to, very good friends, they are saying the same thing. The word of God, the same thing. Even the prophecy we had about, how many years ago? 2011 or 2012, 7 years ago or 8 years ago. If we had prayed intensely, we would have been seeing it in our children mightily. But we neglected it. And everybody is consumed with his own world. His own little world. That is our problem. And the devil is a master of divide and what? Root tactics. I'm trusting God that this church will start to have pockets of prayer meetings. Because at times it's challenging and difficult for us all to come to one place. No problem. But you find that you, Karim and Celeste and what? Mia, you are praying twice a week for just 30 minutes, crying to God. Every family, everybody is doing that. We will see a move of God.
When it's prayer meeting, or when you have to make it your point, I am going to go to the prayer meeting regardless, unless it's totally outside your control. When we show such desperation and signs, God will move among us. People are praying all over the place. When we come here, do you know what will happen here? God will say, I like these people. I will turn my face towards them again. That's what I'm believing God for. Yes, I know as a pastor, I can pray more than you in terms of my hours. No problem. But everybody should be involved. We say, God, have mercy upon us. I will give you scriptures, different things that you will use to pray. I can give you church history of revivals that has gone on. It's amazing. When you read them, you feel so... Why can't I have this experience in today's world? Has God changed? No. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, I am the Lord. I change. No, God doesn't change. It's we who change. You know how my God is willing to use us, these nobodies that we are, to change the world? We have no idea. But there's a price to pay. I want you to talk to God. Whatever you've heard, start from your own sins. Ask God to search your heart. The abominations in our heart. I have been searching and allowing the Holy Spirit to search me, to try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Say, God, no more excuse. Help me, Lord, to be what you want me to be.